Many of his titles incorporate allusions to music, nocturnes, symphonies, arrangements, and harmonies. The immaterial, the spiritual, these principles are subtly interwoven through Whistler's portfolio. And he preached his ideas on the new religion of art throughout his career. Even Whistler's famous portrait of his mother isn't really about his mother at all, but about compositions and combinations. Whistler's mother, arrangement in black and gray, number one, uses his mum like a prop, not unlike the girl in Symphony in White. El Jaleo is housed within the quirky Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, a Gilded Age art collection that serves as a window into the eponymous collector's life and unique aesthetic taste. In order to view the painting, you must pass by the sunlit faux Venetian courtyard and into the shadows of the first floor Spanish cloister. Here, El Jaleo hangs in the end of a long hallway, its immense size, over 7 by 11.5 feet, almost fully covering the far wall of a dark niche. Its mildly claustrophobic and somewhat out-of-the-way physical location lends the striking oil on canvas one of the most intimate settings for a work of art on display in an American museum. The scene portrayed is a dynamic one. A group of musicians provides the rhythm for a lone flamenco dancer who performs for an audience of clapping listeners. It is a snapshot of a specific point in time, the apex of the dance, a moment rife with energy and sensual drama. The footlights cast haunting silhouettes on the rear wall. The raw passion of the dance is palpable. The stark contrast between murky shadow and dazzling illumination allows the painting to visually pop, a phrase that is often used to describing art, but rarely so aptly. Due to the loose and frothy brushstrokes, there isn't the sense of a true illusionary space, yet the light, and hence the vitality of the scene, seems to emanate outward from within the work, as though El Jaleo commands a life of its own. El Jaleo's precocious artist, John Singer Sargent, painted the artwork in 1882 at the young age of 26. Both the painting and its creator are evocative of the times, reflective of the 19th century American fascination with, and inherent dependence on, foreign cultures of both technical training and artistic ambition. Though labeled as an American artist, Sargent was actually born in Florence to a Philadelphia family and traveled throughout his youth and career. In the late 1800s, this type of background became the rule rather than the exception, with expatriate Americans taking advantage of the more accessible education opportunities abroad. Beyond the official state schools, private Parisian studios led by renowned artists offered instruction to admitted American students. Sargent studied under one such teacher, Charles-Emile Auguste Durand, a.k.a. Carlos Durand, and the competitive annual Salon exhibitions were another draw for foreign-born artists, and those venues could win a painting great critical acclaim, as did the Paris Salon of 1882 for El Jaleo. Madame X is perhaps Sargent's most infamous painting. When it debuted at the Paris Salon of 1884, critics lashed out at the artist for what they deemed as a scandalous, immoral image. While the title omitted the sitter's name, the public immediately recognized her as the notorious Parisian beauty Virginie Gautreau. The gown's plunging neckline was considered too provocative for the times, and its right strap, which originally was shown to have slipped off the shoulder, ultimately led to Sargent repainting it in its proper position to appease outraged viewers and Gautreau's own family. Madame X mixes the Gilded Age penchant for portraying status and wealth in portraiture with a daring, seductive aesthetic. For all that it shocked onlookers, however, much of its details were based in older classical traditions. Madame Gautreau's hairstyle is based on one of ancient Greece, and she wears a diamond crescent that is the symbol of the Huntress Diana. John Singer Sargent intended the portrait to establish his reputation, and despite the notoriety it attracted, the work did succeed. Madame X advertised his ability to paint his sitters in the most flattering and fashionable manner possible, and led to a healthy career in Britain and great esteem in America from the late 1880s onward. Though he was born overseas and traveled worldwide and spent much of his life abroad, Sargent's career truly matured in his family's native land, and he always considered himself an American artist. He toiled for nearly 3 decades on a mural commission for the Boston Public Library. He frequently painted fellow American expatriates, and in 1906 he was appointed full academician of the National Academy of Design in New York. In 1916, the Metropolitan Museum of Art bought Madame X, which Sargent considered the best thing I have done. The painting, which debuted to severe disparagement, but is today treasured as a masterpiece beloved in the history of Western art, is but one example of an artwork that gradually evolved from epitomizing the condemned to the celebrated. Much of a work's initial reception is based on society's tastes, standards of etiquette, and values of the era, and as these attitudes shift over the decade, the public may begin to look at older paintings with new eyes. Sargent's Madame X is perhaps a more dramatic example of this trend, yet it poses intriguing questions about what really defines an artwork's popularity, legacy, and fame.